Grace and peace to you who have been shown the favor of God. They're watching him. They're watching him intently. They've invited this great teacher simply so that they can find fault with him and exalt themselves over him. Little do they know that he's actually watching them. He's watching as they jockey for position to get the best seat at the table. And so while they are looking for a chance to rebuke them, they show themselves to be needing one. And so he tells them this parable, something that's really from the scriptures, from the Proverbs, that these good Jewish men would have actually known already. But he brings it to them slightly different. You're invited to this wedding banquet, and you take one of the best seats in the house, but you don't realize someone more distinguished is going to be invited, and he's going to be sitting at your table. And then the host, he's going to come, and he's going to say, I need you to sit down here because this guy needs to sit here. Then everyone's going to see you take the walk of shame. Jesus says, don't be that guy. Don't be that person who's got to have to take the walk of shame. Instead, take the lowest seat, so that your host will come up to you and say, what are you doing here? Move up. Jesus gives them some practical wisdom. What's really going on with these people at the dinner party? They're exalting themselves. Have you seen that in life? People who exalt themselves. It starts young. It starts with a sibling rivalry. If any of you have siblings, I think you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's this desire to be better than your siblings, to beat them in a race, to know more than them. And there it comes. I beat you. I beat you. I beat you 3 times today. Mom, Dad, guess what? I beat my brother. I beat my sister. They even had a huge head start. I still beat them. Why did things like that come out of our mouths as young kids? We've got this desire to exalt ourselves. We've got this desire to have glory and honor, to be seen as somebody or something in this world. It starts as young children. It doesn't end there. It keeps going with us in our lives. You think of middle school. You think of the sports games there. You think of the academics. You think of those who were socially with it and those who weren't socially with it, and how that exalting happened in all those different realms in middle school. And sometimes you were on the receiving end, or sometimes you were on the exalting end, and you know how it made you feel when you were on the receiving end. When you got made fun of for your credit card hops. When you couldn't figure out the math problem. When you couldn't diagram that sentence. But it came easy for the next person. And they let you know. And they let everyone else know. Why was it so unbearable in high school when you got beat on homecoming and the other team is letting everyone else have it? And what was it about the swagger of their star player and that little smirk he gave you that made you hate him so much? Sometimes when we really get bothered by other people, a specific thing that somebody else does, it's because we actually have the same problem. They are exalting themselves, but if the situation was flipped, maybe we'd be doing the same thing. It's not wrong to win. It's not wrong to be good at things. But there's a way to be good about it. There's a way to be humble as you do it. And so Jesus sees these people there at the dinner party. And are they actually looking out for one another? No, they're using one another. They've invited each other over to elevate their own status, but then in that elevation, they're actually fighting each other to be on top. They don't actually love each other. They're not actually looking out for each other. And so what happens in elite groups, that if you mess up, if you step on the wrong toes, if you don't acknowledge how good his wife's casserole was, you might not be invited back the next time. You might not be talked to ever again because you messed with their elevation. You messed with their status. And so Jesus is calling them out and showing them, you're showing favoritism to yourselves. And we get into some of this that James was warning us about. It's one thing for a guest at a dinner party to kind of rebuke everybody there, but the nature of it is that sometimes you're doing good things and you're looking good to everybody else, but you still have a problem on your heart and inside, but no one can really see it. And so Jesus takes another step further, does a thing that's even more out of the social norm, is he rebukes the host himself. And he says, this meal that you've gathered us to, you've done it all wrong. You see, each one of these guests here can repay the favor, but that's not why you invite people to repay a favor. No, you invite people who can't, the poor, the lame, the crippled. You invite those who don't elevate your status. You invite those who need their status elevated, even if your own status goes down. You can think through your life of how you can struggle with this. Is it in your work? You knew what was right all the time, but those fools over there, they didn't know what was right. You knew, but you could act the part, though. You could act the part and be cordial with everybody and do the right things, but then here in the inside, you knew what was right, and they were idiots. Heck, it can happen in your marriage. You can think that you're better than your spouse. You know what's right, and they don't. So then when they ask you to do a certain something, you've already got this notion in your head, I'm not doing that. Or when someone comes to you and they say, could you do this for me? There is this place we have put ourselves that says, no. I couldn't even consider putting myself this low to enable myself to serve you in this way. And so then there are all the things that we dealt with as little kids, that we dealt in middle school, high school, and now they enter the workforce and they've just got a little bit more grown-up clothing on them. And there you can go through life and you're jockeying for position and you're getting a good place here, a good place here, a good place here, a good place here, and then all of a sudden, you would never say it out loud, but all of a sudden, your heart says, look how good I am. And then your actions follow where your heart has ended up. maybe it's how you treat your spouse, how you treat your children, how you treat your coworkers. And there's this air of doing all the right things, but then your kids do this thing, and you can't stand it. Where did they learn that from? And then one day, your words come out of their mouth, and you realize they're just exalting themselves like I exalt myself. What's going to help us move past this need to exalt ourselves? Why do we have this great drive to do it in the first place? It's what the whole world is doing. We're just simply following what we see out in the world, and we're simply doing what our sinful nature would drive us to do, is to be our own God. And if you're going to be your own God, well, you got to be exalted. And so we're driven by the world, and we're driven from within. But then we've got this new man, we've got this Christian faith that is fighting against us. So there's this thing that desperately wants to exalt themselves, and then there's this other part of us that wants to be humble and wants to serve, and they're opposed. It's hard to be humble when the whole world is saying, if you're humble, you're a loser. And so there Jesus comes, and he gives us this warning in James, and he says, those who are going to judge and not show mercy, they're going to be shown judgment without mercy. And so we see this world that's saying, you're a loser. Get over here with us and exalt yourself. We say, well, no. I don't want to fall under the judgment of God. I don't want to be shown judgment without mercy. No. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. I'm going to have mercy triumph over judgment. See, because that's what God showed me. How could I be so hypocritical and judge other people when that's not what God himself did for me? So that's kind of the negative motivation to some extent. We don't want to fall under the judgment of God. Well, where's the positive motivation? Jesus would come, and you've heard these words before. He became obedient to death, even death on the cross. He humbled himself and became obedient to that. Why? Because he needed to. Not for his sake. And there he is exalted above every name. And those who have faith in him, those who believe in him, are exalted just like him, just with him. You see what's happening? Is there we are at the dinner table. We're in the lowest spot. We shouldn't even really be at the table. And it's not the host telling you to trade places with someone else. It's the host himself. He sees there's no seat for you to move up into. And so he empties his own seat. And he says, take my seat. Sit in my throne. And he takes our seat. Our seat of punishment, our seat of hell. But then he rises from the dead, and then he makes a seat for himself again, but there we are next to him. He says, rule with me. I have a name that's above every name now. And now I've given that name to you. I've given that righteousness to you. I've given this forgiveness to you. So that every time you mess it up, Every time you think more highly of yourself and you look down in judgment on someone else, they're not dressed well enough. They don't behave well enough. They don't have their lives put together well enough. There you would say, Lord, have mercy on me. And then you hear him say, friend, why are you sitting there? Move up. Come and sit with me. And you see, that's what he does every time we have communion. He's saying, friend, move up. Take the best seat in the house. And it's there at the Lord's table that you get to see. You get to see mercy triumphing over judgment. We all deserve the judgment. We all deserve for the hammer to come down. We all deserve to get ejected from the table. But here he says, come. Come, my dear friends. That's the gospel that moves us. Why do you need to exalt yourself when you're already at the top? So there you are in your middle school life, in your adult life. Oh, and it's awful. And the temptation is, I'm going to exalt myself over them. But you already are. He's made you richer than this whole world. And it gives you the ability to be humble when they come at you. And to be Christ to those. To be Christ to those who would keep trying to egg you on, who would keep trying to exalt themselves over you, and you would say, they think they're at the head of the table, but really they're at the foot. Let me be Christ to them so that maybe someday they'll realize the fool's errand that they're on. And so there you will be. There you will be just like Jesus told you to invite those who need exalting. Think of those people in your life. Maybe they're the people that you're embarrassed of. Maybe it's their lifestyle. Maybe it's their unwise decisions. Maybe it's you just don't care for them. But at the same time, you know that they desperately need a seat at the table. And so the point of this sermon is not for you to say, oh woe me, and to beat yourself over with a club. The point of the sermon is to recognize the grace of God that was shown to you. And that there's no need to exalt yourself because Jesus has already done all that for you. And now that frees you up to go and find those people who, if God's grace had not been in your life, you would be in the same place as them. And to have the humility to come to them and to say, there's a way up. There's a way all the way up, even if your life is never put together how you'd like. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you've been exalted in Christ. He's shown you all the glory and honor you could ever want.